Okay, we have just begun a time of year. Actually, it's the 18th of Tammuz today, not the 17th, but we've begun a time of year that's always one that we dread as we always look forward to what's coming up next. Certainly at the end of a period where we get to enjoy ourselves learning together in camp, I personally dread the end of that, but Klal Yisrael dreads this time period of the year. And ever since the days of Ezra HaSofer, when we set up a system of reading a full cycle of the Torah annually, we complete Sefer Bamidbar and begin Sefer Devarim Dafka during this time period. And there's been much written about the potential connection between the beginning of Sefer Devarim and the period of Tisha B'Av, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, the period of Bein HaMetzarim. Chazal even developed mnemonic devices to remember that Devarim always comes before Tisha B'Av, Veschanan is always Nachamu. But what exactly is the connection between this stage of our learning, our annual cycle of learning of the Torah, and the time of the year that we find ourselves in? And I want to try to offer an explanation, not my own, that I saw written from Rav Pinchas Friedman Shlita, but first by raising another question. We're all familiar with the idea that the halachos of Tisha B'Av were not created in a vacuum, that the halachos of Tisha B'Av are clearly meant to mimic almost exactly the halachos of sitting Shiva. That all of the nihuge avelus that we do, we sit on the floor like an avel, we refrain from greetings like an avel, we don't bathe like an avel, and even, we don't wear tefillin at shachris, like an avel biyom rishon doesn't wear tefillin. It's one of the lesser known halachos of avelus, because most people don't think of it. They think of aninus as not doing any mitzvahs, and then already by the next morning, they're already not the first day of avelus, or in the second day of avelus, they wear tefillin. One of the lesser known halachos, Rav Shachter once pointed out to me when my father-in-law was sitting shiva, I asked him if there's anything that people need to know that they often get wrong. He said, you have to realize that the halacha is that on the second day, you don't put on tefillin if there are panim chadashos there. You only put on tefillin if there are no new people there, and then when new people show up, you don't have to take them off. So he said the first day that they're actually sitting Shiva, which is the second day of Avelus usually, so the day after the Kavura, you should make sure to put on tefillin before you open the door and let people in, because if they're upon a chadash, okay, stam, that's a separate halacha. But there is a halacha in Avelus that perach chavish alecha, tefillin are called the pe'er, so we dash from the pasuk in Yecheskel that it's not appropriate for an avel to have a pe'er, to have this glory, this splendor, this crown of tefillin that we normally would wear. So we don't even wear tefillin at shachris on Tisha B'Av, and that's a widely accepted practice. But specifically with regard to tefillin, the Rambam has something very interesting to say. The Rambam, when he describes this practice, sort of hedges a little bit, and he doesn't go all in terms of what an avil would do. And he writes, "Umiktzas hachachamim noagin." Shelo lohaniach bo tefillin shel rosh. Mitzas chacham noagin, some have the minag, not to wear tefillin shel rosh. Not to wear tefillin, not to wear tefillin shel rosh. Prima Gadim deduces that the Rambam says don't wear tefillin shel rosh, implying that everyone wears tefillin shel yad. Where does that come from? The halacha by Avelus is not that way. By an Avel, he doesn't wear tefillin shel rosh or tefillin shel yad in Yom Rishon. After that, he wears both. So what are we supposed to make of this difference between Hilchos Avelus on the one hand and Hilchos Tisha B'Av on the other hand? And what does that tell us about what we're supposed to be getting out of this time period? It's always helpful when you're approaching a significant time period that's a unit of time to try to picture where you want to be at the end of it. And when you have that goal in mind, there's an excellent book by an author named Simon Sinek, which is called Start With Why. You have to understand what's the reason for my existence. What defines everything that I do, and then you're going to make all those decisions based on the understanding of what you're heading toward. So in life in general, it's a good thing to have, but especially when you're given like a short period of time, and we're supposed to accomplish something in this short period of time. So we have to understand what are we aiming toward. Where do we want to be in 3 weeks? Yes, Yerushalayim HaBnuya. What do we want to have achieved to get us there? It's very easy to say, of course, I want to be in Yerushalayim HaBnuya. What are we supposed to do to get us there? I once had a Talmud, an extra credit questions on tests for my 11th graders. I always ask, Questions that there's no right or wrong answer, just things that give me insight into what they're thinking. So I once asked this next credit question: describe your life in 10 years from now, what your wife is like, what your family life is like, what your professional life, just describe it in 10 years from now. And there was one particular kid who was going through a very rough spot religiously. He was spiritually really turned off. And he described how he's going to be a doctor and his wife is going to be wonderful and beautiful, of course, and that his kids are all going to be wonderful and he's going to give a daf yomi shir in his shul and he's going to... Daf yomi shir in his shul. And so I called him over afterwards and I'm like, what are you doing now to get to there? Is there anything that you're doing right now that's going to lead you, that makes you believe that you're going to get there? He's like, oh, Rabbi, I thought that's what you wanted to hear. But no, that's not really the only reason he wrote it. Meaning, sometimes we have this vision of like the future, but it's important to know that it's supposed to educate the here and now. So looking forward, as much as we dread it, looking forward to the next 3 weeks, what's the message of these 3 weeks that we're supposed to emerge with and supposed to educate us on how to behave over this period of time? So Pinchas Friedman points to a parallel made by the Sfas Emes and Parshas Zohar, which I thought was just so perfect for the end of our limud for this summer. We've been learning Tefillin. Hopefully everyone at least knows that by now, right? That we've been learning a lot about Tefillin. And Sfas Emes writes that Mishneh Torah he bechinas tefillin shel yad. Sefer Devarim represents the tefillin shel yad. V'hadalit Svarim bechinas tefillin shel rosh. The other four books represent tefillin shel rosh. Lachain, yesh b'mishnah Torah kol ha'nemer b'dalit Svarim ha'kodmim. Mishnah Torah has a summary, a review of everything that it had in the previous four Svarim. Just like you have all four parshios that appear in Tefillin Shel Rosh are all combined in one unit in Tefillin Shel Yad. And the purpose of Mishnah Torah is to bring our hearts close to Torah. The Tefillin Shel Yad is Neged Alev, and we saw that drasha just the other day, that's why you put it Neged Alev, because it's supposed to take all of the messages of all the rest of the Torah, of all of the rest of Chamisha Chamishah Torah, and Sefer Devarim is supposed to bring that message into our hearts. It's supposed to make it part of us. It's supposed to make us feel the truth of all of those messages and live our lives based on all of those messages. So that's what the Sfas Emes writes. If we understand the connection between Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad, we'll understand the connection between the first four books and Sefer Devarim, and maybe understand a little bit about what this time of year is about. So the first four books contain essentially all of Jewish heritage and Jewish practice. We read all about the Avos, we read all of the Halachos that come up in the Mikdash, outside of the Mikdash, constantly B'nei Necha, the object of our focus. That's what we do as B'nei Torah. We focus on the content of the first four books of the Torah. We focus on all of the mitzvos, all of the Agada that could be derived from it, all of the Musa that could be derived, everything that appears in the first four books of the Torah. And the final book is a basic review of the other four with a much heavier emphasis on the Musar than the other four. Much heavier emphasis on the inspiration, on the alavavchem, to inspire our hearts. The first four books, somewhat independent from each other, each has its own topic, so to speak, and that's why each has its own title. Each is called by its own title that represents by Chazal. Chazal gives different titles. The Netziv made a lot of these famous in his introductions to each of the Svarim. He describes what Chazal were thinking by giving certain titles. But each one, whether it be Sefer HaYashar and Sefer HaSheni, which the Netziv prefers, or whatever titles you want to use that Chazal gave of the different four books, are each somewhat independent. They each have their own topics and their own titles, like the four independent compartments of Tefillin Shel Rosh. But by the fifth book, we're a single nation on the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael, like a single compartment of Tefillin Shel Yad, where it's all just coming together as one, where everything is just happening all at one time. There's another distinction between Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad. How do outsiders relate to our Tefillin Shel Rosh, and how do outsiders relate to our Tefillin Shel Yad? Well, there's one Gemara we saw, Menachas Lamavav, also it appears in Brachas Davav. The Gemara tells us, V'ro kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. The other nations are going to see that Hashem Hashem is called on us, and they will be afraid of us. Elu Tefillin Shel Rosh. That's a reference to Tefillin Shel Rosh. The Tefillin Shel Rosh represents the way we project ourselves toward the nations of the world, specifically in the way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we project a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Umos HaOlam are able to see. And they see that there's this incredible connection between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when they see that connection between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, they're terrified. Because when Akol Kol Yaakov Eina Yadayim Yidei Esav, they're not going to be able to do anything to us when we have that incredible connection. And that's what Tefillin Shel Rosh represents. And what does Tefillin Shel Yad represent? Gemara Menachos Lamed Zayinam Beis. If we had one more week of camp, we'd get there. V'ayi l'cha l'os al yadcha. L'cha l'os. V'lo l'achirim l'os. Tefillin Shel Yad we cover. Make those little plastic boxes. We cover the Tefillin Shel Yad. Tefillin Shel Yad is private. Tefillin Shel Yad is for us, it's not for other people to see. So Tefillin Shel Yad, how do the Umos HaOlam relate to our Tefillin Shel Yad? They don't. There is no, they don't see our Tefillin Shel Yad. There is no connection to our Tefillin Shel Yad. We feel it. We have this private connection with Baruch Shalom, but that's not something that they can see. It's not something they can appreciate. So to elaborate just a bit further before we bring it all back, the Meshech Chachma explains one of Rav Shachta's favorite Gemaras, I think, because I've heard Rav Shachta say over this Gemara, I don't know, dozens of times. He loves to tell over the Gemara Maseches Chagiga Daf Hei, describes a debate between Rabbi Shua ben Chananya and a certain min, a certain apikoros. And I guess to make the debate challenging, the king in front of whom they were having the debate said, you have to debate in pantomime. You have to debate, but with no words. You have to mime everything. So what do? How do they have such a debate? So the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya hava koi be kesar ach vilehu apikorsa. Amada adrinu marila apemine. The Apikores took the first shot, and he showed, he acted out a nation whose master has turned his face from them. He turned his face away from Rabbi Shua ben Chananya as a way of expressing, this is how God has turned his face away from his people. And he was trying to say, look, God abandoned you. You no longer have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's not interested in you anymore. Amada adrinu mari la'ape mine, a nation whose master turns his face away from them. Achvilei yado netuya aleinu. What did Rabbi Shua ben Chananya do? He stretched out his arm. Why did he stretch out his arm? To represent yado netuya aleinu. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned his face away from us? His hand is still outstretched over us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still connected to us, even when you don't see it. Armalei kesel Rabbi Yeshua. So the king at this point was totally confused. He just sees one guy turning away, the other guy with his hand out. He has no idea what anyone means. So he says to Rabbi Shua, Mayach vilach, what did he tell you? First you interpret his first shot at you. So he said, Amada adjunumar lape mine. I know exactly what he was showing me. He was showing me a nation who God has turned away from. And I was showing him that Yadu Netuya Aleinu, that Hashem's hand is still outstretched. Amru Leila Hu Mina. So now the Kesar says to the Min, let's see if he understood the debate. Mayach Vislei. What did you show him? Let's see if they understood each other. So he says, oh, what did I show him? Amadadju Numari Minei. I turned my face away to show that it was a master turning his face away from his nation. Umayach Vilach. And what did he show you? Lo Yadana. I don't know. He started sticking out his hand. I have no idea what that's all about. Amru gavradol yada may machvilei v'machu yachri kama malka. Is someone who doesn't even understand the debate that he's having, let alone win. He doesn't even understand the debate that he's having is going to be able to debate in front of a king. Afku v'katlu. They took him out and they had him killed. That's the Gemara. That's the story the Gemara says. It says in Meshech Chachma. It's so unbelievable. The point of the Apikores was made with the head, by turning the face away. The point of Rabbi Shua ben Chananya was made with the arm. The Apikores and Rabbi Shua ben Chananya both understood what the message of the head was. The Apikores had no idea what the message of the arm was. As Chachma points out, Tefillin Shel Rosh relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guiding us and leading us in a way that's evident to everybody. Direct hashkacha. V'ro'u kol ami aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha. Everyone sees it. That happens when things are good for the Jews. That happens in times of Geula. That happens in times of Shlomo HaMelech, in times where we have a Beis HaMikdash, where things seem to be going well. When Hashem's Hashkacha is more hidden from us, though, the Umos HaOlam only see abandonment. They don't see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us. So the Apikoros expresses this by turning his head away. They're not aware that there's still a Tefillin Shel Yad. There's still this private connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people. They're not aware that even in times of Galus, even when it doesn't look like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really right there with us, he is, just in a much more subtle way. In a way that's not as obvious to everybody else. And in a way that sometimes we have a hard time finding it. And we have to look really deep to find it. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Chanan expresses it by stretching his arm out, knowing that the Apikoros is not going to understand it. Because that's the relationship. Very, very private. Recognized by us. Where do we recognize it? You know, we don't have open miracles anymore, typically. Every once in a while we do, actually. But we don't typically see open miracles. We haven't experienced a Kriyas Yamsuf type of event in a long, long time. But we find it in the courage and the strength of the Jewish people themselves, a strength that I think is, you know, sometimes superhuman. It's beyond what a nation that didn't have a Ribbono Shel Olam in their corner would be able to muster. Remember, 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, during Tzuk Eitan, the stories that were coming out were just like scary, but also unbelievable. You know, there are a lot of names. There are names that you'll always remember. Naftali, Eyal, and Gilad, you'll always remember for the rest of your life. But there are a lot of names that we've heard throughout, you know, that for a week were important to us. We're on our minds. There's a young man, Bar Chai Shur. Okay, we heard that name and we remembered it for a few days. But, you know, unfortunately, most of the victims, you know, are here one day in our minds and gone in our minds the next day. I have a friend in my community, in my shul, who went on a trip to Eretz Yisrael that summer. And he went to visit the family of this victim. And so many times I've heard the same, such similar stories. But he went to be Menachem Avel. And he started to cry and he couldn't contain himself. And the family said, No, he lived a good life. 2 decades of Kiddush Hashem on this earth. 2 decades of doing exactly what his avodah was on this earth. He accomplished a full lifetime of good in his 2 decades of life. And that perspective in B'toch Shiva. You know, when Rav Shechter went to be Menachem Avel, and he was just crying the whole time. You know, Rav Shechter's a very emotional person. He couldn't say anything. And Rabbi Kamenetsky was there. He told me that it was a little strange, because it turned out that the family was being Menachem him. They're like, no, Rosh Yeshiva, calm down. It's okay. We're where we belong. He was where he belonged to be. He was where he needed to be. But the incredible strength that people have, where does that come from? It comes from a deep-seated connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That even no matter what Klal Yisrael is going through, we know that we're connected. We know that there's a game plan. We know that there's a future for Klal Yisrael, that the Jewish destiny is alive and well, even if we don't see it directly. How many times Yerav HaChayal, when his parents get an email or something to him, some communication to him, what do you need? And on the front lines, I just need a Gemara Megillah. I finished Tainus. I need a Gemara Megillah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable kind of strength. Remember my grandfather, my grandfather lives in Rehovot, in Gezunt. He should be well for many, many years. Rehovot's a pretty safe place. They have incredible security in Rehovot because for whatever reason, but it's a very, very safe place. And a couple of years ago, when the rocket attacks were happening, I called my grandfather. How are you doing, Zaidi? Okay, we had an interesting thing this morning. A rocket landed right outside my apartment building. An interesting thing, Zaidi. Do you have a shelter? Do you have somewhere to run? I've seen enough open miracles in my life. I'm not afraid of them. This isn't going to scare me. this isn't going to do anything to me. Like, where does that come from? We don't even understand. It can't be explained where this kind of strength comes from, because it's something that's deep inside of us, and we don't discover it, unfortunately, till we have to discover it. But it's something that we have. It's a tefillin shel yad connection. It's not a connection that the whole world can see. And it's not even a connection we can always see, but it's a connection that's always there. It's this ongoing relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Meshech Chachma explains that when Hashem first appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says, "Vayomer Elokim el Moshe, Eheke Asher Eheke." That's how Hashem introduces Himself. I will be like I was. I will be in the future like I am now. However you want to translate it. Vayomer Kos Amar Lebnei Yisrael, Eheke Shlachani Aleichem. You should tell the Bnei Israel, but now it's not Eheke Asher Eheke. The Shulchan Aruch is not allowed to say, pronounce that word. It's one of the Shemos Hashem. As I'm pronouncing Eheke. Eheke Asher Eheke. No, instead of Eheke Asher Eheke, now he's been Eheke Shulchani Aleichem. And it's Eheke Shulchani Aleichem, not both. And we know the famous Mamari Chazal on the topic that it's a Dayel Tzora B'Shaiti. You don't have to tell him about all the future Tzoros. There's a fascinating comment that the Rambam has, where he paraphrases a Gemara we learned this morning, but he changes one detail. We learned the Gemara this morning that says that a person is supposed to be mashmish b'tefillin, b'chol shay, should always be touching his tefillin, feeling the tefillin, because it's also l'asiyach daitum in a tefillin. So how did the Gemara say? How do I know that it's also to be masiyach das from the tefillin? Kal v'chomer mitzitz. The tzitz has only one shem Hashem, and you're not allowed to be masiyach das. So tefillin, which has... So the Gemara says, lots of shem Hashem. It didn't give a number. Lots of Shemos Hashem. So kal v'chomer that you're not allowed to be Masiach Das. The Rambam, Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Dalet. Chay avodim mashmish b'tefillin kol zman shehin alav shelo yasiach daito mehen afilu rega echad. Person should not have Hesach Das from his tefillin even for rega echad. Shekedushasan gedola mikedushas hatzit. The kedusha of the tefillin is greater than the kedusha of the tzit. Goes to show you just how we get used to things, and we stop appreciating their value. Can you imagine if someone were to take us to a museum and show us the tzitz, the actual tzitz of the Kohen Gadol? Wow! That's it? That's the holy thing that he would wear on the Kohen Gadol would wear? That's unbelievable. Tzitz meratzeh, that we, you know, all those sugyas we skip in Masechet Pesach, that's unbelievable! We'd be blown away by that. And we have something more kaddish than it many times over that we put on every single day. And sometimes we're not so careful about Sicha B'Teila when we have it. We're not so careful about Hesach Adas when we have it. And it's right there. And it's more kaddish, says the Rambam, paraphrasing the Gemara. Our tefillin kedushas and gedolah mikedushas atzitz. Shatzitz ein bo el Hashem echad. The tzitz is only one Shem Hashem, and here's where he veers a little bit. Ve'elu yesh behen echad ve'esrim shem shel yud hey b'shal rosh u'kamosim b'shal yad. 21 Shemos Hashem in the Shal Rosh, and by the way, 21 more in the Shal Yad. The gematria of Eheke, do quick, 21. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, tells Moshe about two types of relationships he's going to have. Eheke Asher Eheke. You're going to have a tefillin Shal Yad and a tefillin Shal Rosh. You'll have the 21 times two. You'll have a Shal Yad relationship that's just between me and you, and you'll have a Shal Rosh relationship. And then he tells him, but there are going to be times where it's only Eheke, where there's only one, where there's only those 21 Shemos, not the other 21 Shemos. When the Tefillin Shel Rosh relationship is not evident, when people won't see it, when the Amei Aretz are not going to see Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha 21 times over, but you're going to know it. And our avoda is to always recognize it. So when we go through times of Churban, we have to recognize, or Rabbi Shmuel Chanya told that min, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't abandon us. Kadosh Baruch Hu never abandons us. Even as we suffer, we always find strength in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So an avel avoids a pe'er of any sort. And an avel, it's understood as difficulty connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam, privately, publicly. But a community of Klal Yisrael, a nation whose tefillin shel rosh has been removed by churban, still has to keep on the tefillin shel yad. That's why the Rambam says that it's true, an avel doesn't wear tefillin, not shel yad, not shel rosh. perhaps reflecting where he's at on that first day, where his whole reality has been thrown out of whack and he's so jarred and shaken, as an extension of aninus, where there is no avodas Hashem, there is no actual doing mitzvos. But Klal Yisrael can never discard both tefillins. There are times where tefillin shel rosh is removed because it's times of Churban and we relive Churban, and that's what we do on Tisha B'Av. We relive Churban. As I'm sure you've heard many times, the reason for this period of time, the 3 weeks, is to build up to that point where we appreciate the loss. As Salvage pointed out, the exact opposite of what a person goes through on an individual suffering, when he loses a relative, where he's just immediately shaken to the core. We have to get ourselves to become shaken to the core about the lack of a Beis HaMikdash, to the point where Tefillin Shel Rosh doesn't make sense, to the point where it looks like the Ribbono Shelom, to the outsider, it looks like the Ribbono Shelom has abandoned us. And then we find the Nechama in our Tefillin Shel Yad, in our private relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the knowledge that He never abandons us. But that's not the end of the story. The Tefillin Shel Yad of Sefer Devarim is supposed to be Al Levavcha, and then what? You put it on your heart. You internalize the entire message of the Tefillin Shel Yad, of the single bias, a sense of achdus in the Jewish people that's going to pull us out of the Hester Panim. And then one day, when we get that message of Sefer Devarim and we hold on tightly to it, even as we have the privilege of moving on to Sefer Bereishis, that's the key. The key is to use that, bring it, and then be able to bring back a Tefillin Shel Rosh. Rav Pinchas Friedman points out, the Pasuk in Tehillim speaks of Beshuv Hashem as Shivas Tzion. Shivas Tzion. Beshuv is Rashi Tevos. Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar. Shivas Tzion is when we use the Sefer Devarim, we use the Tefillin Shel Yad, we understand what it represents, we understand that relationship, and we let it bring us back to Shivas Tzion. You know, we do a lot of talking, especially here, rightfully so, about Achdus, about how connected we are. This camp is founded on not judging anybody, and not breaking, everyone's integrated, everyone's together. And it's such a critical message. And the truth is, here it's more profoundly true than it is in most places where you find messages of achdus, you know, spoken about. I teach in a high school where when we preach Achdus, we're saying that there should be so much Achdus in the Jewish people that a kid who went to Halb Elementary School should be able to be friends with a kid who went to South Shore Elementary School, which is like this far apart hashkafically. Like this, that's how much Achdus we should have. You know, our standards of Achdus sometimes are so low. So it's a great start. It's a great start to be in a place like this, where people of all abilities, of many different backgrounds, different types of Jews, not just, as I think I mentioned recently, you know, when I was a kid, the word was, if you were a really good person, you had tolerance. You were able to tolerate other people. Thank God, Achshar Dara, the world has improved, where now, if we don't talk about tolerance anymore, the maila is not just to tolerate other people, it's inclusiveness. It's to actually include other people. It's to actually be connected to other people. So Baruch Hashem, Achshar Dara, we've gotten to that point. But we should use this as a springboard. If we've learned to be inclusive of people of slightly different backgrounds, people of slightly different people in all different kinds of ways, it's time to build on that. It's not, you know, a lot of times, so you leave Camp Keli, and then you go back to, back to my Dalet Amos, where everyone's doing their own thing. The point is, this should be a springboard to expand that idea, to be inclusive of more Jews, to have all Dalet Parshios come together as one. to actually love everybody. The avodah is to take four parshios of Tefillin Shel Rosh, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says isn't working for you, and that's why you have Churban. Bring it together in Tefillin Shel Yad, and the only way to bring it back is when it all comes together in one parsha, and it's Al Avavcha, and it's on our hearts, and we recognize that, and we appreciate that. Rabbi Blass showed me the other day a Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Ritva says, like the Shittas HaRavim also, that when they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, they knew it wasn't going to last. They knew that it wasn't going to last. And they built it anyway. Obviously, they built it anyway. Four centuries of having a Beis HaMikdash is better than 4+ centuries of not having a Beis HaMikdash, right? So they built it, knowing it wasn't going to last. But it struck me, how did they know it wasn't going to last? Because they knew, they saw who showed up to build it. That comes a time in Jewish history where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling you back to Eretz Yisrael. You have an opportunity to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And who showed up? The losers showed up. People who had nothing. People had nothing going for them back in Bavel. So they came back to Eretz Yisrael. But anyone who had anything to live for in Bavel wasn't coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So they realized, no one's here. If no one's coming to build it, it's not going to last. And it struck me that, you know, the Gemara in Yuma says why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Sinas Chinam. So what does that mean? It was destroyed because it was never supposed to last in the first place. No, Meikara wasn't supposed to last. It was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. No, maybe that's the point. That it's going to be very hard to galvanize people to come together when Meikara, when the Yesodos aren't together, when it's built on a Yesod of a tiny, tiny sliver of Klal Yisrael. The Yesodos of Geula have to be with Klal Yisrael coming together. The Yesodos of Geula have to be planted with a broad swath of the Jewish people, not tiny little pieces. And our avoda during this time period is to feel that sense of connectedness, to feel what it means to be a member of a much, much larger nation than the guy that happens to sit to the right of me in the Beis Medrash and to the left of me in the Beis Medrash. And if not all of the Jewish people have come to appreciate that private Tefillin Shel Yad relationship, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still interested in our lives, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still watching out for Klal Yisrael, so it's our job to represent what that means to our fellow Jews. And that's what we're aiming toward. That's what we're aiming toward. B'shuv Hashem Hashivas Tzion. When we're able to have an appreciation of what it means to come together as a Jewish people, when we're able to have an appreciation of what it means that the Ribbono Shel Olam has never abandoned us, and that all of us have somewhere deep down in us this deep connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam that no one else can see. A private connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Umos HaOlam certainly can't see. And it's only then that we're going to be able to experience a Tisha B'Av. You know, I was convinced 2 years ago that there wasn't going to be a Tisha B'Av. I don't know, maybe you guys were also. It was when you saw Klal Yisrael coming together like that, I was shocked that there actually was a Tisha B'Av. I thought, okay, you know, by next year there for sure won't be. Just seeing, and we had it for a little bit, you know, we had such major steps for a little while, and unfortunately, you know, two steps forward, one step back, sometimes one step forward, two steps back, it's hard. It's ani rochev al chamor. We're not getting it all in one shot. But we have to believe that to the extent that we're able to accomplish that goal, even in little spurts, we're getting a little bit closer. So hopefully, these 4 weeks of dedication to Torah, of understanding what the point of the existence of this entire place that we're in for this past month is, and internalizing that, hopefully we've brought ourselves a few steps closer. Now our job going forward is to keep the forward progress. To keep going, to keep moving the chains a little bit, little by little. And Amir Tz Hashem will then all going to see B'shuv Hashem Yeshivas Tzion.